Welcome to High Scores, the show all about video games and their music. I'm Jackson McGilvery.
I'm Mikaias Linares.
And I'm Jagan Brar.
And this is episode 98 of High Scores. This is going to be the part one of three finale to High Scores.
Yeah.
So, like we've done for the past couple weeks, we've been doing themed episodes. So these last few episodes are going to be themed around the different consoles in the gaming industry. So this episode's going to be Xbox-based and PC-based.
Yeah, a little bit of PC. Mostly Xbox.
Mostly Xbox. And then maybe we'll get into some PlayStation Nintendo in the next couple weeks. But yeah.
Yeah.
This is mostly just my excuse to put out all my Halo.
Talk about Halo for 60 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So without further ado, what song do you guys want to start with?
Start with a Halo
yeah,
song.
Yeah, why not Halo?
Let's start with a Halo song. Okay, we're going to start with Undercover of Night from nice. Halo CE.
We'll be right back.
What you just heard was Finally a Tomorrow from Gears of War 3, and right before that was the main theme from the Sea of Thieves closed beta. So guys, is there a lot of news this week?
Not really. I guess Red Dead 2's date got announced, which is October. Like I mentioned before to you, Jackson, I've never played Red Dead. Well, I did for 30 minutes-ish.
I feel like... I know you were saying... You were telling me that you are not a big fan of the like Grand Theft Auto kind of...
Like the Rockstar style anymore.
Yeah.
It's not very fun. It's like too open box. I think I've explained. No. Is that what it's called? Sandboxy.
Sandboxy.
It's just not really a fan of sandboxy games anymore.
It just... Red Dead kind of feels more along... Like an RPG. It feels like an RPG in the Wild West.
Is it an RPG though?
It's
kind... Does it actually have RPG elements?
Wild West Skyrim.
No, but it's you're put in a like different environment, right? Like there's so many open world like big city games.
Yeah.
Like how many other like Wild West?
But it's
games
not first person either, though, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about this new one because Grand Theft Auto was never first person either until Grand Theft Auto 5.
Wait, it was?
Grand Theft Auto 5 came out and it was there was a first person option. Like they once they released it on the Xbox One.
Oh, I said I never
like
played
once
it
they
on
went either. To the next gen, then they it came out like the first person came out simultaneously with it. Which is kind of cool. It actually changed the game a lot. And I think that would be pretty cool for the Wild West type setting like Red Dead.
How's the environment in that game, cuz I can't really picture much besides just like...
It's really fun. Like,
Southwest U.S.
Like it's
it's like kind of deserts and mesas.
There's deserts, but there's kind of like these like swampy forests too.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting, and like there's a hunting mechanic in the game, and you really have to utilize that because you make a lot of your money from selling furs, and just doing bounties I think is one of the most fun things to do.
Cool.
And like you'll come across these like random encounters where like let's say you'll just be going through, and then you'll see like there's like a little blue dot that'll appear on your map, and it's all random, and you might see some guy like strapping some woman to train tracks, and you gotta figure out like what you're gonna do, and you can, I don't know, you can like maim the guy and like tie him to the back of your horse and just like drag him behind you and stuff, and I don't know, it's
seems very complex for a PlayStation 3 game. Or
it was big. It was really, really well done. You don't think that there'd be a lot to do, but there's just endless stuff to do in that
but
game.
Is it, so yeah, sounds very like just like open worldy kind of. Yeah. Oh, you walk around and you find something to do, not really like other than like the main plot. Is there quests?
Yeah, there is. The most
like side quests, I guess.
Yeah, like the story is actually really good too. John Marston's a really interesting character. I know you're probably not going to play it. I can't even really remember too much. I remember like the ending of the game for sure, because it was pretty memorable, but the story was good. I just remember one thing that really stood out to me when I played it back in the day, and I know this has been done before now, but there was a train that went like around the map in real time. So you could jump on that train and like walk around like through the train and stuff. Cool. I just thought it was really fun, like riding along on a horse and being able to jump across to the train as it's like moving, or like outrunning a train.
Yeah,
I don't know why
cool.
The train really interested me, but
yeah, you really. Yeah.
I don't know. Red Dead. I'm really excited for Red Dead 2 because it just seems like Rockstar's been hitting things out of the ballpark lately. But
what have they done in the past? Not even like
I don't know. Grand Theft Auto 5
for 6 years.
It was huge.
Yeah. But yeah, but like
if you've seen like
if you say recently, I'm gonna think like past like 2 years.
I've seen like some timelines online about like the release history of Rockstar games, and after GTA 5, there was just like a 4 year gap with absolutely nothing, where every previous year had some sort of release, or like maybe it was 2 years.
But they have been keeping up with those updates on GTA 5 too. Like the
all of them are just for them to make more money, though.
Yeah.
For being fair. No?
Yeah. Fair enough. But they are free, too. So.
Yeah, like, but they're free updates for you to buy more shark cards. Is that what they're called?
Shark cards?
Aren't they called shark cards?
I don't
to
know.
Get, like,
something
money?
Like that.
Yeah.
Mikaez, you played the most GTA Online on PC,
I understand, like, they ruined the heists and stuff like that. And
did
made
they?
It, like, all, like, kind of, like, paid away. And, like, you have to have, like, shark cards and stuff like that.
Oh.
I never actually played, but that's just all the complaint. Like, it has, like, I think like a negative like average rating on Steam because some people are like, they ruined it.
No, I remember there was controversy with Rockstar when they were going to remove the like the modding software.
Yeah,
and then they brought it back because of the backlash. Like, people were attacking them with negative reviews on Steam. But I don't know. I'm excited. I was a big fan of Red Dead Redemption, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll play it. I'll definitely play it. Oh, I mean, maybe, actually.
Maybe. Cool. Anything else happen?
No.
This week?
Not really.
It's been kind of slow.
Yeah.
But,
it's time of the year that everything is slow.
We're all getting crushed with too much schoolwork.
There's a lot of
games are slow. And
I haven't touched my computer in 3 days.
Yeah.
Whoa. 3 or 4 days, I know.
Need your Rocket League fix.
Where's your PUBG? Where's the three games you play? Where's your PUBG, everybody
Overwatch,
everybody golfs or whatever?
Oh yeah, golf. Golf 4.
My dude.
Golf it.
Golf it, sorry.
Jeez.
Yeah. Cool. You guys mind if I talk about Halo?
Yeah, we'd normally do pick of the week. Jackson's gonna do his pick of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just splurge about Halo for who knows how long. So
I mean, I don't think, me and McKay didn't have an Xbox, mm-hmm. and we barely played our Xbox 360s, so it's Jackson's, the forerunner.
Hey. Yeah. No. I did play through Reach, and I think I talked about that a bit in one of my solo episodes.
What did you think of Reach? I don't remember what your thoughts were on it.
I had a lot of fun with it.
Like, that
I mean,
was
I
your
didn't,
first
I didn't have it, yeah.
Halo game?
It was not the first one I played ever, but the first one, like, I've actually owned and played to completion.
Same.
Really? Juggin, I thought you played Halo as a kid.
I never owned it. I went down the street to my friend's house.
Halo 2?
Halo 1 and 2 and 3.
I think only Halo before that, I only played Halo 3 at like a friend's house or something. Or most of the time, I just spent watching people play it.
So were you kind of like shocked when you went from like Halo 3 gameplay to Reach was a pretty drastic change.
I wouldn't say
really?
Was it
from the formula? Yeah, it's regarded as like lots of people think of it as
the
turning
Halo
point.
Was ruined, right? No.
No. Okay, so the community's kind of split in that Reach was a fantastic like a grand finale for Bungie to go out because there was a lot of modes. Like they had everything. They had Forge. They had Firefight. They
like
had
SWAT mode.
Matchmaking. They had everything in that one, and it looked really nice. It still kind of kept the Halo art style, but making it more gritty and more detailed, while like the newer games, like 343's games, the community really hates the art style. Like they despise it because it doesn't look anything like
I thought Halo 5 looked freaking great.
It's a good looking game, but it doesn't look like the old Halo game.
What
you know, like it doesn't like it
I
doesn't,
mean, but like if you look at like Halo CE, it looks like it's like everything, every wall looks like a gray smear because Xbox. Like,
Well, for example.
Yeah, okay. Because yeah. I didn't even know Halo had its own art style. I thought it was just like kind of supposed to be realistic, whatever.
No, in the, like, Reach was probably one of the more, like, it's the gritty looking one. But, for example, the community loves what Halo Wars 2 did. They kind of merged the newer art style and the older art style. Giving an example, if you look at the Elites, in the old games, they're slim. They're, like, slender. They're very agile. They're, you know, but in the new games, they're, like, hulking giant lizard things. And a lot of people didn't like that because they liked
isn't
the
isn't it because of the adaption because they're, like, more, like, partnered with the Forerunners? I think that's what they're called.
No. They're just, those are still just supposed to be Elites. But they, like, people liked how you could differentiate, like, an Elite and a Brute, you know? Because Brutes are the big hulking guys, and the Elites were the slim ones that were really hard to hit because they were still like really
strong.
Yeah, and now it's just kind of like, what's the difference now? And I don't know. Yeah. There is a very specific art style to the newer games that a lot of people aren't very happy with.
So when you say a lot of people, and I'm just like,
is that
mainly the super fans who are like, oh my god, I hate it, or is it like genuinely panned across the board?
There is, it's the community is split into. There's the.
But is that the community of superfans?
No, it's just the Halo community. Like,
okay.
I follow a lot of the Halo community online. There, it's,
nerd.
But it's the general consensus is that it's split down the middle, and there are the people that jumped on board around Halo 4 that were kind of like, not the Call of Duty fans, but like the people who preferred that kind of gameplay style with loadouts and stuff.
Right.
And they kind of stayed on, and now those are considered the 343 fan base.
Then there's
the people who grew up with Halo and have followed Halo to this point, and they're kind of leaving the community now because they're not really happy with what 343 is doing. So it's
fair enough.
Yeah, I would kind of consider myself on that side more.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah. I like loadouts. I
just remembered. I spent many, many hours playing Halo. I think it was Halo 4 multiplayer with my friends, where we would set up some kind of infection mode, where whoever was infected would get like a huge jump boost and like a huge speed boost, and whoever was like last alive would get a huge jump boost but no speed boost. So you would have three infected elite like zipping across the map trying to hit this guy in midair who's like 300 feet up.
On Halo 4?
Yeah, because you could like edit the... I'm pretty sure you could do it in a lot of the games.
You can do that. And
you
like
can edit like all the gravity settings and such.
Pretty much every Halo.
The Forge mode, right?
Halo 4 is my least favorite infection. I think it's the worst infection out of all of them because the infected couldn't use vehicles. And that was one thing that really made... like people could make so many crazy game modes where only like an infected would be in a Warthog or something. Everybody else would be scrambling around. And they sacrificed that to incorporate the... I mean, they looked cool. They looked like the Flood, right? They give them their weird hands that were made into swords.
I think for the purpose of our game mode, it was better that there were no vehicles.
Well, you didn't need vehicles, but just like the infection was... it was very limited in Halo 4 because of that. And there's just a lot of things that they've removed that kind of staggered the community. And yeah, I don't know. I'll stop talking about Halo. I kind of want to say, though, that... Halo music is kind of one of the, it was one of the, like the inspiration for me to like start the show or the idea behind this show.
Because Marty O'Donnell.
It was just, yeah, like I just didn't know that gaming music could be that good. And I would listen to it on like a regular basis, like just at school and studying and stuff. It was always the Halo soundtracks. And I just, I don't know. It made me really have an appreciation for video game music.
That was Skyrim for me. Just, I don't know. I think it's still one of the best video game soundtracks.
Oh, I completely agree.
The whole time.
It's so ambient and really immerses you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just thought I'd throw that out there. Well, I'm going to play a Halo track.
Big surprise, yeah.
Yeah. From one of the best games, in my opinion, in the series, Halo 3 ODST. A lot of people, I don't know. I honestly can't really tell what people think of this game.
I wouldn't agree with that at all.
You don't agree with it?
Not at all.
No? Why?
I think it would go like from worst to best. It'd go like Halo 5, Halo 4, then ODST.
Really?
It's in the bottom three.
I think it's in my top three. I think it's better than Reach. And I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's better than CE.
Oh, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I can't comprehend that. Oh my God. Okay.
The track from ODST... it's called Neon Knight. A lot of sax. I like sax.
Sax. Thank you.
What you just heard was Uncharted Worlds from the game Mass Effect.
One, right?
Yeah, the first one.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure it's in two as well, and three. You know, when you pull up the map.
Maybe. I can't remember, to be honest.
There's just like this one, the one theme that stuck out to me was the one with the map. And I'm pretty sure I read that the composer of this track is basically like, so the composer of Mass Effect, his name is Jack Wall. And basically, I'm pretty sure the story went like, he was working on a separate project and he had to like kind of split his time with Mass Effect. And I think it was Knights of the Old Republic. So he called in like one of his students or something. I can't remember what, just to help him, you know, kind of get the songs right and stuff. And this student named, what was his name? I got it in front of me here. It's Sam Hulick. He ended up composing this Uncharted Worlds thing. He kind of brought like a techno-y feel to it that Jack Wall hadn't already. It sounded very different than what Jack Wall had already made.
Right.
But so they ended up like collaborating, and this track is like a lot of people's favorites now. So he ended up bringing on the student to the next game, and now he's like involved in the Mass Effect kind of team. It was really cool. It was an interesting story. If I'm right, I can't remember. I remember.
You better hope you're right. It's going on the radio.
Yeah. Well, what about Mass Effect Andromeda? You weren't on the show when we had like had all those discussions about it, right?
I don't think so. No.
That was Mateo. But you're a Mass Effect fan, right?
Yeah, I played the first three. I didn't touch Andromeda, mainly because the reviews obviously were bad. Well, not bad, but.
Yeah.
Mediocre. And one of my friends, who's also like our friend Aiden,
mm-hmm.
who is a big fan of the games, mentioned that he also thought it was like not the greatest. He said it wasn't terrible from mm-hmm. what I remember, but when you're busy with school, like not terrible kind of means like you're not gonna play it.
Yeah, because you have so many other options.
Exactly. Yeah, so I just never touched it.
Yeah,
but
from what I remember playing the little bit that I did, the gameplay was very fast paced and really fun, kind of like mm-hmm. Mass Effect 3's gameplay was really fun too.
Right.
This was even faster, but that's really fast. Just the story did not grip me. You know, like I think that the selling point of Mass Effect 1 and 2 are the characters.
Like, yeah, 100%. Character development is a huge part of it.
Like that's what drew me in. I wanted to keep coming back because I wanted to see what happened to all the characters. But this game, I didn't care about the protagonist. I don't even remember what the protagonist's name was. I didn't care about any of the other characters on the ship because they just seemed so generic. And then on top of that, what?
Did you beat it?
No. I only played like a few hours. I just didn't care. Like nothing drew me in. There was nothing felt new, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't find the characters interesting. And on top of that, yeah, like, just the bugs really threw me off. Like, the facial animations just...
Apparently they fixed a lot of that, though.
Yeah, just, like, the main character just looks so off all the time.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, blank expressions just, like, staring into the mm-hmm. void.
Mm-hmm.
I actually watched an interesting video a few days ago about some guy. It was just, like, the guy who made the video. He was digging into why things might could have gone wrong, and he like compared the jankiness of the facial animations and everything to that of The Witcher 3, and he was talking about how like there are just so many elements in the system that they built that have to work together. Like it's got to be a well-oiled machine, you know. It's got every little component has to work together for things to look proper. But if one thing is off, like for example, when they released that first update, they basically just made a little bit more like outlined people's eyes with black eyeliner a little bit, and that fixed a lot. Like lots of people thought that really right. helped. So just like little things that you might not even think about could be the yeah. reason why it's not coming across as.
I'm sure you know, but it wasn't actually like BioWare who made it. It's like BioWare's like sister crappy team. No, trunk. It's rude. I don't want to say it like that, right? Because I'm sure there's a lot of great developers, but it was like not the lead team, and plus they changed engines and stuff like that. So yeah. I gave them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because like they got handed like one of BioWare's, if not their biggest franchise. Maybe Dragon Age is a little bit bigger.
I disagree. I think Mass Effect's bigger than Dragon Age.
I guess. Depends on like, they're two pretty different games. Yeah. But either way, one of the biggest franchises with like a new engine, a new team, and like pretty big deadline, like pretty strict, sorry.
Yeah.
I could understand. You were mentioning that the gameplay is really good, and one of the lead developers on the gameplay team was on Vice Waypoint for an interview, and he talks about how the nature of the studio was, and it's actually an interesting insight into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth checking out.
I've been hearing a lot of speculation that a lot of the resources that should have gone into Mass Effect Andromeda went into Anthem.
Two completely different studios.
Yeah, but EA's resources.
Oh, maybe.
Like,
I wouldn't be surprised. You kind of put more money into the better basket of developers.
But that's surprising because Anthem would have been a new IP. It is a new IP.
But from a developer that has name recognition, BioWare has become the new Naughty Dog or the new Bungie or whatever you want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I wouldn't even say they've become. I think they already were.
Well, they were. That's what I mean, right? They are at the stage of like DICE, for example. Like whatever you think of Battlefield, you give DICE is a guaranteed popular shooter game.
Yeah.
Regardless, Respawn is gonna make really tight gameplay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pandemic.
What? Sorry.
Pandemic.
What's Pandemic?
Wait. No, I'm not thinking. I'm thinking of. Who's behind? Who does Bayonetta?
Oh, Platinum Games.
Platinum.
Yeah.
Platinum. Start of the P. Pandemic's a different studio. That's what I'm talking about. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly, though.
Yeah.
Platinum's just so well known for their tight gameplay.
Yeah.
Some of the best.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Rising, Bayonetta.
I never played Metal Gear Rising.
So much
fun. And I still have to play Bayonetta.
The story is a little weird. A little over the top. But the gameplay in that is so much fun. Quite like the original gameplay they showed off. Mm. I don't know if you ever remember seeing it.
Yeah.
But definitely a lot of fun. Mm. Very Platinum with a lot of cool aspects.
Very Platinum. It's a good...
it's crazy that you know how to describe that way, right?
Yeah.
But,
cool.
Yeah.
I would say that the newest developer on the scene that has, their own style is probably From Software.
I was about to say, From Software. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. When you're going to announce a game, when you can have an announcement saying we're making a game...
And just have your logo, basically.
And then you know you're popular enough, pretty much, yeah.
Well, we should move on to another song.
Sweet.
Glad
I could contribute to the conversation.
Juggin, you want to pick?
Sure. I can pick one from a game that I never played. I don't think any of us did, but from Sunset Overdrive. I heard it was one of the best Xbox One
launch. I played a little bit of it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It's. I didn't really get super far into it. I got it off the Games with Gold.
Right. Because
they had it free one week, and... I played a little bit of it. It wasn't really my kind of cup of tea. It felt very much in the punk, Tony Hawk, over the top, just doesn't take itself seriously kind of thing. But the game, the movement was really fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't play enough to get a really good sense of how good it could get in the late game. But it did. It gives me hope for Spider-Man coming up.
Is it by Insomniac?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know.
The new Spider-Man is Insomniac.
No, I know the new Spider-Man. I didn't
know
this was
Sunset Overdrive is Insomniac.
Cool,
So, yeah.
Maybe that's where they just practice their tech.
Yeah.
Because they knew they were going to make the new Spider-Man game.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's one
it's
of my
coming
most
out this summer, if you guys didn't know.
That's one of my most anticipated games.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, well, cool.
What is the song name, Jackson?
The song name is...
To Me Fizzle.
It's me, Fizzy Boss.
Oh, it's me. It's me, Fizzy Boss. Cool, okay.
So, this is It's Me, Fizzy Boss from Sunset Overdrive.
Cool. We'll be right back.
So that looks like all the time we have for this week. Sorry you didn't get to hear more of my sultry voice, but I didn't grow up with Xbox, so I don't have much to talk about.
Fair enough. I'll probably be the quiet one next week.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have more to say definitely for PS or for PlayStation.
Me too.
And then we'll all have lots to say for Nintendo. Yeah,
the finale.
So stay tuned for that. I guess we'll end on some recommendations as usual. Jackson, what you got?
Well, this is the first time I'm going to say this, but I recommend you go watch an ad. So
sell out.
Did anybody watch the Super Bowl? Probably not.
What's
I'm
a football?
Not.
Watch the ads. Which ad are you talking about?
Tide.
Wait, is
did
this
they
an
advertise
American?
Tide
is this
Pods?
American ad.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't watch that.
So I had to watch the Super Bowl for an assignment for my ad class thing. We basically have to analyze the ads.
I mean, it does have the best ads of the year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we basically had to find one good and one bad ad. And I think Tide was so genius and just perfect timing with this whole Tide Pods thing. It's basically like, you know what? Just go watch it. Just go watch the Tide ad. It has David Harbour from Stranger Things in it, and it's so clever. It's perfect. It had me thinking about Tide the whole time, like the whole Super Bowl. And you'll understand why once you watch it.
Okay.
It's really weird. It was very clever. And I don't know. I guess maybe I just appreciate ads more now that I'm in kind of going into advertising a little bit. So
cool.
Yeah. Cool. Tide.
Nice. All right.
Tide.
Okay, yes?
My recommendation is don't procrastinate. What do you mean? You need to get something done. Don't lie in your bed and go on Reddit.
Don't golf it.
Well, I haven't been golfing it, but yeah, I have a bunch of stuff to do, and I've been watching. My brother recently told me that Mr. Bean, all the episodes are on YouTube. So,
oh my god,
that was really bad timing. yeah, but just get what you need to get done first, and then you can relax. I'm sure everyone knows that already, but I'm just gonna remind you again. It really sucks when everything gets backed up.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Juggin, what about you?
I think you already recommended it, Mikaeus, but I'm going to recommend a Kindle or an ebook reader.
Oh yeah.
Mainly, I just got one, and I always liked like the eating display, but I kind of thought like how much would it really boost up my reading. And I'm reading a lot more just because I always have it with me in my backpack. I don't have to carry on some thick book. Like if I want to read something like
yeah.
It, which is like 1,000 pages.
That can get all wrecked in your backpack.
Exactly, right? Like I don't want to ruin my nice hardcovers. So I buy the physical book and I pirate the ebook. I'm like, what? I don't see a big problem with that myself.
I mean, if you're paying for it once.
Exactly, right? Like I buy the hard copy of like $30. Yeah, that's already a lot of money. I'm not paying another 15, regardless though. Then, so I started reading the Tom Clancy books, some of them, and mm-hmm. they're actually really good. I can understand why they made games off them. Like, I really recommend them if you're into, like, they're like fictional war, stuff like that. Mm. But some of them actually have, like, a lot of non-fiction elements to it, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. So I want to end the show off.
With Halo.
Surprise, it's a Halo song, but I just think it's fitting for an ending song. It's one of my favorites. And I've played it before, but it's Wake Me When You Need Me from Halo 3, and it's it plays at the legendary cutscene at the end of Halo 3.
That's a new one.
So, whoa!
You okay. Sure we shouldn't play the main theme of Divinity?
Yeah, for the 8th time.
Or the main theme of PUBG?
Yeah, that one's not as
no,
bad.
No, we only played that once.
Really?
Only
oh,
have
I thought
two.
You had to play it a
There's
few
two
times.
Different ones.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, this is...
See you next week.
Bye.